was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. In the name of Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. That's Jesus. Or more specifically, the pre-incarnate Christ, the second person of the Trinity. This is John's way of speaking to the eternalness of Christ. It is also his way of speaking of his divinity. The Son is one with the Father. The Son is eternal with the Father, along with the Holy Spirit, although he is usually the silent partner, always pointing to the Son. And so the Son is eternal with the Father, both God, and yet there is only one God. And while we usually attribute the things of creation with the first person of the Trinity, that's how we speak about it in our small catechism, if you remember, John makes sure to let us know that creation is not just the work of the Father, but is also the work of the Son. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that has been made. The Father creates, and yet he does so through the Son, speaks all things into existence through the eternal Word. Everything, everything that ever has been, has its being in the eternal Son. The magnificence of the heavens, stars expanding through the light years, planets and solar systems revolving around myriad suns, spiraling throughout galaxies in a complexity far too great for our finite brains to fathom, and all of it governed by unforeseen properties and laws that we place into the language of things like physics, all of that spoken into existence by God through his eternal Word. And the things of the terrestrial, too. These are the things that we can touch and taste and smell and observe, the mighty redwoods to the smallest little mustard seed, the rainforests of the Amazon to the deserts of the Sahara, the deepest places of the ocean to the highest places of the mountains, all of these things spoken into being by God through his Word. Plants and animals and rocks, subatomic particles and genetic codes, everything, everything, the work of his mighty creation, none of it an accident, none of it done by chance, but all of it designed and planned out and made through perfection, capped off by you, by us, by mankind, by the only thing made in his image. That's the God that we have. A God who creates because he loves. A God who reveals himself through his Word. A God who gives all things that are good and asks for nothing in return. And I know it might sound a little bit strange to be talking about the things of creation here on Christmas Day, but John, I think, has a point in doing so. He wants you to grasp the enormity of the situation. He wants you to just stop and ponder, to think about and meditate on, to try and wrap your mind around the vast difference between the Creator and his creation. Measure it in the size of eternalness. Think about it in the omnis, the all-everythingness of God, and contrast that with the finiteness of us and this world that we live in. No matter how vast and wide and wonderful and great this creation is, there's a God outside of it, greater and bigger and vastly more vast, who spoke it all into existence and upholds it with his mighty hand. But darkness has come upon this once filled, light-filled creation. And it's a deep darkness, it's a sad darkness, a darkness that reaches into the depths and it worms its way into all of the cracks. It's a darkness that's corrupted the perfection of creation that God and his Word created. Say what you will about this darkness, speak about it whatever way you would like, but the truth of the matter is this darkness came through sin, and it brings death. Corrupted and diseased and dying is this once vibrant creation. And it's the pinnacle of this creation that caused the landslide into the deep darkness. It's you, and it's me. It's mankind. It's the very part of creation that held the image of God, made the rest of creation complete, brought forth the words, "It is very good," that has brought death upon everything that we know. And as beautiful as creation is, as beautiful as it was before being ripped into the darkness, as wonderful as the trees and the waves and the moon and the birds were and are and will be, they're not the things that God loves. I mean, He does love these things, of course, but in a different sort of way. For these things He did not create for His own pleasure or enjoyment, but for ours. And so if they're fallen, then they're fallen because we're fallen. And if they're to be restored and redeemed, then they're going to be restored and redeemed not for their good, but for our good. For God did not become incarnate as a rock or a tree. He did not take on the form of a sloth or the majesty of a lion. He didn't even take on the form of an angel, but He took on the form of man. And not just the form, but the flesh. Did not just look the part, but actually became. And did not just become to once again slough off later, but became to become until eternity. That's what John says. So the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And here's something to ponder, if there ever was, that which spoke all things into creation, of which all things to this very day have life and are upheld. This infinite God of all-powerful nature, who knows all things, has become man. The all-everything God has confined Himself to the finite things of a human. And He's given Himself fingers and toes and eyes and ears. He's given Himself flesh and blood and bones. This Christmas day, ponder that. If your mind can even grasp it and your heart can take it in, you have a God who loves you so very much that He desired to be with you. And know for certain that not for one single instant did He ever ask you to climb the ladder and become more divine. Although that was certainly what tempted us and what the serpent used to cover this world into such deep, dark darkness. But instead, God came down from heaven. He became man. The infinite housed in the finite. The invisible, now visible. The one who is everywhere all at once placed Himself in a womb of a virgin, to later be placed in a manger. God of infinite everything, now a bundle of joy the size of a baby, cooing and cawing and blinking His newborn eyes. And while you're still pondering the impossibility of all of that, ponder something more. God did not just become man just to become man, but He came man so that we could see His glory. As John says, glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. But this glory is not the things of the divine that we would think it would be. For who among us could even fathom all of the things of the divine? Who among us sinners could comprehend the almighty and the eternal glory of a good and perfect God? No, the glory that John actually speaks about, the glory that he saw and that he makes known to us this morning, is not the glory of the infinite, but the glory of the things here. For even as we ponder the glory of the infinite, balled up in the baby of a manger, there's a greater glory that we must behold. The angels, they sang about this glory on that first Christmas morning. It was the glory that brings peace to all of mankind, a glory that promises new creation, a glory that grants life and salvation and light when all that there is death and condemnation and deep, sad darkness. The world didn't know him, still doesn't know him. He came to his own creation. The God who spoke men and women into existence came to them and stood before them. He spoke once again, spoke to them of who he was, speaks to the world and everyone in it of who he was and who he is and who he always will be. But we did not know him. Ponder that too, how creation cannot know its creator. It almost seems impossible, doesn't it? But that's how far into the deep, sad darkness creation's fallen. But this didn't even matter to the God who became flesh. Almost as if he knew all along that this is how it was going to be, how it must be. And so he goes on to his glory. For the glory that we see, the glory that John witnessed, and that he and the rest of the apostles have proclaimed into this fallen world so that you and I can hear about it on this Christmas day 2,000 years later, is not just the glory of Bethlehem, but it's the glory of Calvary. Not just the glory of the manger, but the glory of the cross. Despised and rejected by his own creation, the Creator went silently to the cross. That was the only place where salvation could be found. As bright as that star shone that first Christmas morning, a light shining in the darkness so that shepherds and later kings could come and worship an infant child, that light pales in comparison to the light that shines from the cross. It's the death of God in the person of Christ which enlightens the world and redeems all of creation. But you may be asking, how can the author of life be subjected to death? That's like asking, how can the infinite be housed in the finite? How can God become man? How can bread be flesh and wine blood? It's a mystery without explanation, but a mystery that speaks to the fullness of his glory. This is the glory that we sit in this morning, this Christmas morning. The glory of a God who has taken on our flesh and dwelt among us, still dwells as one of us, still to this very day as both God and man. We remember and celebrate this glory, this Christmas day. Little bundle of infiniteness, all swaddled up to nurse with his mother. But the glory of God is more than just his incarnation. It must be. The incarnation is nothing without the crucifixion, and the crucifixion means nothing without the resurrection. And so the glory of God is found in a manger, is found on a cross, is not found in a tomb, but is found outside of that tomb alive. The glory of God is found seated at the right hand of the Father in the person of Christ in the form of man. And all of this victory is now given to you. Just one more thing to ponder. You, who have been seated in darkness, you've seen a great light. And you've been given the right to become children of God. That's exactly what you are. Children of the Father, birthed from the life and death and resurrection of his infinite Son incarnate. You, brought from sinner to saint, brought from death to life. You, a child of God. Ponder that this Christmas day. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
In the name of Jesus.